So your home didn't sell the first time. Are you fed up? It's time to make a change. Hire the Selling with CC team to get your home sold. We like houses to sell, not sit. To schedule an appointment, go to sellingwithcc.com.
Keller Williams, Jacksonville Realty.
Now, the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter, presented by Florida Pump Service and Atomac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles on 1010XL. Here are your hosts, Packer and Andrew Gibson.
Dropping is Blake. Looking, fires, crossing around, caught. Rashad Green makes the catch. Ball comes out at the end, but I think they're going to say he is down. The ball came out at the end. He is whistled down at the 25-yard line. Now the clock will continue to turn here.
They're going to try to stop this, I think, upstairs because that ball looks like it may have been coming loose. And remember, they can overturn this if there's a clear recovery.
Frank Frangie, Jeff Loggeman on the call, Jaguars Radio. Tony Baselli was there as well. And with that, good evening, Jacksonville. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida. Fifth quarter, we are presented by Florida Pump Service and Atomac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles, the Jaguars. Lose today to the Indianapolis Colts, 29-26. That is the fifth loss in a row for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That is six losses in their last seven games for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And as I welcome in Andrew Gibson, this to me now, clearly, in the two-and-a-half-decade history of this organization, 2018 is going to go down as the most disappointing season in Jaguar history. The Jaguars now dead last in the AFC South. The Jaguars at 3-6. You're getting dangerously close to having that conversation. Do you want to keep winning, or is it better off to keep losing at this point for draft pick consideration, which I thought we would never have that conversation here in 2018. That's where you are. A lot of things went bad today. The defense was horrible in the first half. To their credit, they played very well in the second half. Josh Lambeau misses his first field goal, gets an extra point blocked, but he did come back and make the 55-yarder. And Rashad Green fumbles the ball. When you're a bad football team, those things happen. And the Jaguars right now are a bad football team. And it is what it is, and the Jaguars lose today to Indianapolis as Andrew Luck gets the job done, 29-26.
Yeah, it's a gut punch today, Hack. Good to be with you guys as always, and first of all, wish all the veterans a happy Veterans Day.
Absolutely.
And look, it's bad. I mean, it really is. You know, we heard the call with Frank and Jeff and Tony. I mean, why is Rashad Green in that position? You know, here's a guy that's been cut twice this year. Number one, why? And again, it's not all on him. There are other things that happen, but at the end of the day, hold on to the ball, and you've got a chance at the end.
Absolutely. I mean, you're at the 25-yard line. Lambeau's not missing again. Worst-case scenario, you tie the game, go to overtime. Maybe you drive down and score and turn your season around. Now, it's not all on Rashad Green. Unfortunately, it happened at the end of the game, so people are going to remember Rashad Green. Yeah, my question, it's not really even a question, more of a statement. You want to know where the Jacksonville Jaguar roster is? Rashad Green's in the game in that situation with 2 minutes to go, and you're down three. You chose not to re-sign Allen Robinson.
Who had a huge game today.
You chose to cut Allen Hurns. That's what you chose to do. And you chose not to bring any wide receivers in other than Dante Moncrief in free agency. And there you go. Yeah, the defense in the first half was horrible. There's no sugarcoating it on this program. It was absolutely horrible. I'm so tired of people talking about how good this defense is. They're not.
No.
They're not any good. And not only are they not any good, but Malik Jackson with a personal foul. Miles Jack with a personal foul. Offside penalties left and right. It is so unbelievably disappointing when you go into an entire offseason thinking about how good things are going to be. And you remember that run last year. And then the Jaguars gave you so much hope at 3-1. First time you've ever been 3-1 in the last 10 years, since 2007. And for this season to just become what it's become. And what it's become, to me, is the biggest disappointment in Jacksonville Jaguar franchise history. Very frustrating. I owe an apology right now. Colin Cowherd, who's on Fox Sports 1 every day, you and I were doing Hacker After Dark the night that he said the Jaguars were a one-hit wonder and the Jaguars will not win a division game. They will go 0-6 in the AFC South. You and I both thought he was crazy.
Yep.
I thought he was Looney Tunes. I thought that was a guy just trying to get people to talk about him. Well, Colin Cowherd's going to be right. The Jaguars have one more opportunity to win a division game, and that's when Indy comes here in a couple of weeks. Who on earth thinks the Jaguars are going to go to Nashville on a Thursday and beat Tennessee? Who on earth thinks the Jaguars are going to go to Houston if Houston needs that game in Week 17 and going to beat the Texans? I certainly don't. So the Jaguars are staring at a winless division record, which, again, is unfathomable to me about a month, month and a half ago.
Yeah, you know, something that I said during the game today as we were watching it today, and great turnout today at our watch party. It was pretty fantastic.
At Hoptinger out at the beach, there were a lot of people there, and thank all you guys for coming out.
Yeah, great, great time this afternoon. I wish we could have had a victory to go along with it. But, you know, I said this during the game. Imagine thinking, boy, if the Jaguar defense could just get a stop. I mean, it was unbelievable the amount of blown coverages that happened in the first half. Coming off of a bye week, that stuff's happening. That's just, you know, it's bad when, you know, miscommunication seemed to be the theme for this Jaguar football team on the field and perhaps maybe with the team as well. Because if you recall during the week, Boye said he was out and Marone was like, that's news to me. I mean, there was just miscommunication everywhere, it seemed like, this week.
I don't want to hear one thing about Blake Bortles today. Blake Bortles was 26 of 38 for 320 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Blake Bortles had one of, if not his best game, certainly in the last five games, probably his second or third best game of the year, because remember, he was dynamite against the Patriots and the Jets. Blake Bortles was fantastic today. Blake Bortles absolutely played well enough to win this game. The penalties just kill you. The penalties just absolutely kill you, both offensively and defensively. You get an extra point blocked. You miss a field goal. Now, to the special teams' credit, for the first time in franchise history, they convert a fake field goal, which I can't believe. It's been 25 years, basically, and the Jaguars have never converted a fake field goal until today. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So I thought Marone did some things to look, the Jaguars dominated the second half. The defense put you in such a hole in half number one that you were not able to dig yourself out of it. And Rashad Green, look, man, I mean, for a guy that's been cut twice this year, he's like the 53rd guy on the roster. When they need to cut somebody, they've cut Rashad Green. They cut him once in September. They cut him again in October. They bring him back. And the guy, look, he's a Florida State guy. I get that a lot of people like Rashad Green. I like Rashad Green. That's a terrible, terrible thing today. In a football sense, Rashad Green fumbling the ball probably is the difference between a 4-5 team that has a big game against Pittsburgh next week and now a 3-6 team, which, again, you're getting awfully close to winning games is going to start hurting you in the draft process.
Yeah, I mean, Rashad cut twice this year. I'm not so sure he doesn't get cut a third time. I mean, that just can't happen. I mean, we talked about it today. You know, this game and maybe last week was the season, but this week, losing this game, falling to 3-6, knowing that a Steeler team who just absolutely obliterated the Panthers on Thursday night, they're coming in here.
The most disappointing thing to me about this five-game losing streak and now losing 6 out of 7, it is going to be nauseating. How many Pittsburgh Steeler fans are at the bank on Sunday? It's going to be basically a Steeler home game, is it not?
Yes.
I mean, I said 30,000. I bet there's 30,000 terrible towels in there on Sunday. As well as they're playing,
yeah,
as bad as the Jaguars are playing, it is going to be just awful. And by the way, you think the Steelers smell a little blood in the water? You don't think their backbone's going to be a little raised playing Jacksonville after what the Jaguars did to them last year on their home field? They may try to put 50 on the Jaguars. They may be throwing the ball in the fourth quarter up by 30 because of what Jacksonville did to them 1 year ago. It might be bad on Sunday.
Absolutely. They took out what they thought were their frustrations last week on the Carolina Panthers, and that might have been a precursor to what could happen Sunday.
Phone lines are open, Jacksonville, 641-1010. If you want to get involved in the program, you are more than welcome to do so. 641-1010, Jacksonville. Now 3-6, Jacksonville dead last in the AFC South. Boy, the Tennessee Titans just put a beating on the New England Patriots. It's the worst Patriots loss What'd you tell me?
Since November 2000.
Since November of 2000. The Titans beat the Patriots 34-10. The Texans have won six games in a row. The Colts have now won three games in a row. And here the Jaguars are. Losers of five in a row and six out of seven. Gibson, there was some good today. Look, it's not all bad. I thought Blake Bortles was terrific. I thought Leonard Fournette coming back. Now, he only averaged 2 yards a carry, but I think some of that's misleading. I thought the 56 yards through the air that he got on five passes really changed the complexion of the game. He had over 100 all-purpose yards. He had two touchdowns. So give Fournette credit. Missing a lot of time, he came back in today and was a difference maker for the offense.
Yeah, he was. You know, I thought it was encouraging today that the inclusion of Leonard Fournette back into this offense gave the offense some, no doubt, some juice. I mean, the offense moved the football today. Now, you might say, well, like you said, you know, Leonard Fournette, 53 yards on 24 carries, not good. In fact, our friend Philip Heilman tweeted a few minutes ago that the 53 yards by Fournette were the fewest by an NFL running back this season with at least 24 carries.
Wow, well,
but the
that's
thing
probably
is,
not good.
It's not good, but I put part of that on the play calling. Throw the ball on first down sometimes.
Yeah, I was getting sick of first and 10.
I mean, first and 10, it's a run up the middle.
I think, was it Archuleta on the call today?
He said that.
I think Archuleta was even like, what are they doing? Every play on first and 10, they're running the ball. There was no, not a lot of disguising that by the Jaguar offense. Now, look, the passing game, Moncrief, 3 for 98 and a touchdown, including an 80-yarder.
Yeah.
Dante Moncrief had a good game.
Revenge game.
Fournette, 5 for 56. Yeldon, 5 for 51. O'Shaughnessy, I thought, did some nice things in his return.
5 grabs.
5 for 46. Westbrook, 5 for 30. In fact, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 different Jaguars. Well, yeah, I guess nine were targeted. There was eight guys caught the ball. Rashad Green had 1 catch for 5 yards. He fumbled. Blake Bell, D.D. Westbrook, O'Shaughnessy, Yeldon, Fournette, Moncrief. Bohannon was involved as well, our guy on XL Primetime.
Yeah.
We'll talk to him tomorrow night. So the ball was spread out. They did a lot of great things in the passing game. They outrushed Indianapolis. They outthrew Indianapolis. They outgained Indianapolis. Yet at the end of the day, the Rashad Green fumble and the just horrific defense in the first half was, again, too much for the Jaguars to overcome.
Yeah, I mean, this Colts defense is going to let you throw the ball on them a little bit in complete passes, and Blake Bortles took advantage of that today. Now, you know, there are a lot of short passes. You know, there wasn't too much down the field. The one touchdown pass to Dante Moncrief was by far, of course, the furthest throw down the field. At sometimes, you know, I thought during the game, gosh, is there a 15 or 20-yard play in our playbook down the field? Because outside of the 80-yard touchdown, there wasn't really much going down the field. But, you know, this Colts defense was allowing opposing quarterbacks to complete 72% of their passes coming into the game today.
You know, we talk about nine guys were targeted today. Keelan Cole wasn't targeted once.
Yep.
Not one time was Keelan Cole targeted today. DJ Chark, by the way, only targeted twice, your second-round pick, at 0 catches for 0 yards. But to DJ Chark's credit, I thought he did some nice things in the return game.
He did. DJ Chark was a pleasant surprise in the return game today. I thought, you know, whenever you watched him do a couple things, you thought, okay, you know, DJ Chark is a guy that can potentially make a difference there, something that they really haven't had on this team this year.
So it's not all doom and gloom. I'm trying not to make it all doom and gloom. In my opinion, yes, it is the most disappointing season to this point in Jaguar history, so there's a lot of doom there. But I am trying to point out, Blake played well. I thought Fournette being back in the lineup, I thought guys like O'Shaughnessy and Moncrief and Westbrook and all these guys, Yeldon, but T.J. Yeldon continues to just be really good.
Yeah.
And I don't know if T.J. Yeldon's going to be a Jaguar next year or not.
No,
he's
not.
an unrestricted free agent. But I will tell you this, and I feel very confident in saying this. Through nine games this year, to me, the offensive MVP of this football team is T.J. Yeldon. Because Yeldon had filled in for Fournette where he could. The guy had zero help for about three or four of those games. He was basically the only running back on the team that could do anything. And again, Yeldon today, 5 grabs, 51 yards. I have been unbelievably pleased what I've seen out of 24 in the backfield.
T.J. Yeldon is very consistent. He is a guy that's going to give you everything he's got, and he's going to catch a lot of passes out of the backfield. And that's for a guy like Blake Bortles, who does like to check it down and just try to find something up the field in a short intermediate route. TJ Yeldon's going to give you that almost every time. He's a very dependable player on this football team. I have my doubts that he's going to be on this team next year because he will be a free agent, and somebody's going to pay him a chunk of change to be on their football team next year.
Fifth-round pick for Carlos Hyde, right?
That's right.
3 carries for 5 yards. You combine that to the London performance 2 weeks ago, Carlos Hyde has now carried the ball 9 times for 16 yards in 2 games. Jaguars gave up a fifth-round pick for a guy in 2 games that has had 9 carries for 16 yards.
What did the Patriots give for Josh Gordon? Wasn't it a fifth-rounder?
It was somewhere along those lines, sure.
And I think they're getting a better return on their value.
Yeah, a little bit. 641-1010. Phone lines are absolutely loaded. I'll tell you what, let's grab a couple here in the opening segment. We'll take calls all the way up until 8 o'clock tonight. Let's head to St. Augustine here on the fifth quarter. Let's bring up Matt. Matt, you're on 1010XL. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hacker, you hit it on the head right off the bat with your comment about Bortles. The sad part is, but I got to warn you, you're still going to get those calls. I heard them on the last show. There's no doubt they're in line behind me on this show. So let's get to it. If you are on hold right now and you have something bad to say about Blake Bortles, you're going to point your finger at Blake Bortles. Go ahead and hang up so that you don't show this entire city that you don't know how to watch football. I'm not going to point a finger at Lambeau either. He's been solid. The defense was garbage. I hate to say it. I know that they kind of atoned for it in the second half, but they were garbage. And I hate to say it. The only thing worse than the defense right now is these fans that want to point the finger to Bortles. So go ahead and I'll take your comments off the air.
Hey, Matt, thank you. Look, when Blake Bortles deserves criticism, we'll give him criticism, all right? I've been very critical of Blake many times on the fifth quarter this year, Gibson. You have as well. Blake Bortles does not deserve criticism today. Now, the play calling, I think, leaves a lot to be desired. They refuse to go downfield. They just refuse to.
Yep.
The dinking and dunking. Now, some of it works. I mean, I think the counter stuff to Fournette, where they get him out on screens in the flat with linemen out in front of him, I think that's, you know, that's good, dinking and dunking. But they do just not throw the ball downfield. Maybe they have no confidence in the wide receivers. I have no idea. In fact, one of the only times they went downfield, it was an 80-yard touchdown to Dante Moncrief. So you think they might do that some more. To me, Gibson, and look, you got to start looking at the offseason at this point. I know people are saying, well, 7 wins in a row and this, that, and the other. They're not. This team's not going to the playoffs. They're just not. So I think you got to start looking at how you're going to help this roster in the offseason. I think wide receiver is a top priority. Maybe quarterback is as well. There will be times to have that conversation, but the Jaguars are going to have to do some things at wide receiver. I know you get Marquise Lee back, but I don't know if Marquise Lee is going to help you as much help as they need right now.
No, and look, it makes you bite your tongue. It does for me, absolutely. Every time you see what Allen Robinson's doing. Now, he hasn't had a great year in Chicago, his first year there. He's been injured a little bit, but did you see what he did today? Allen Robinson had over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns today for the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears got a big victory. Bears are in first place right now in the NFC North. Let's go to the west side, get Ken in on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Ken, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? Hey,
Ken, I'm good, man. What's happening?
Hey, man, I just wanted to say, man, you guys, you both of you guys, you helped me with the counseling, man, because, like I said, now, Blake Bortles, like I said, we can't ask much more of Blake Bortles. But, heck, I'm just wondering, heck, you know, it's everything, the turnover, the undiscipline. That come on coaching, you know.
Yeah, look, Ken, I'm sick of the penalties, and I've had enough of the personal fouls. I don't know what the defense is doing getting personal fouls out there. They shouldn't have been roughing up anybody after the whistle because they certainly weren't roughing anybody up while the game was going on in the first half.
Yeah, that cost you right there. That's the game. That's the ball game.
Ken, thank you for the phone call. Yeah, the defense just simply left a lot to be desired. By the way, as Ken was talking, Mercedes Lewis, about a 35-yard gain in the flat there for the Green Bay Packers. So when it rains, it pours. So we got a lot to get into, Jacksonville. We're there till 8 o'clock. Jonathan Jr., hang in there, guys. You'll be first up. If you want to get on the line, there is room for you right now. 641-1010 is the phone number, 641-1010. With Andrew Gibson, the hacker Ryan Green with you. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Florida Pump Service and by Adamac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles. The Jaguars fall to Indianapolis 29-26. The Jaguars now 3-6 on the year, dead last in the AFC South. Your phone calls next here on the Fifth Quarter.
This is the Window World of Northeast Florida Fifth Quarter, presented by Florida Pump Service and Atomac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yeah, it's a big difference for us, you know, to have them back in there, whether it's just running it or screens. And then, you know, the line went through a bunch of things. You know, Linda goes down, Shetley goes in there, Walker's hurt, and then Flowers gets hurt, you know. So, you know, we were struggling a little bit as the game went on, but they still gave us a chance, put us in a chance to win the game. So, you know, those things go on, but it is a big difference having them back.
Jaguar coach Doug Marrone commenting on Leonard Fournette's return to the lineup. He certainly made an impact. Speaking of that, Gibson, every week here on the Fifth Quarter, we do give you an offensive player of the game. Not a lot of doubt as to who this week's offensive player of the game is. And as always,
brought to you by Tony's Auto Sales.
Now, the Tony's Auto Sales Offensive Player of the Game, presented by Tony's Auto Sales. Luxury cars, low prices.
Blake under center. The give to Fournette, tries the right side, Leonard into the end zone, touchdown. A one-yard touchdown run by Leonard Fournette.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars radio. Wow, I can't repeat that. Stuff coming out of the Jaguar locker room. That's interesting.
Yes.
A lot of frustration in the Jaguar locker room. But that was Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars radio. The Jaguars get Leonard Fournette back. Gibson, only 53 yards rushing, nothing great. However, 56 yards through the air, a couple of touchdowns. Certainly the offense looked different with Leonard Fournette in the backfield.
Certainly looked different, but I think, you know, one thing that I've always thought all along, and we've talked about this, is, okay, Leonard Fournette's back. That's terrific. But how is he going to look behind this current offensive line? You know, you have an offensive line now that has been without Cam Robinson. They lost him in week two. You've now lost Brandon Linder, your center, and we don't know the extent of his injury. He was carted off the field today. Tyler Shatley came in. So this offensive line is certainly not what it once was. And even the debut today of Eric Flowers didn't last very long as he went out to injury.
Yeah, the thing with Eric Flowers, I didn't notice him in the first half, which is probably a good sign.
All right.
Notice Josh Walker when he came in at left tackle. So that's certainly a downgrade. I thought Flowers, when he was in there, played pretty well. 641-1010 is the phone number, Jacksonville, for you to get involved. Let's head up to Buffalo. Check in with our friend Junior. Junior, you're on 1010XL. What's going on?
Hey, Hacker. Hey, Gibson. Hack, you said it right. This is what has to be one of the disappointing years for Jaguars this year, ever. After what we did last year, surprising, and thought this we're going to move on and build on this year. Let me tell you something. I was in the great state of Florida all last week. I wore my Jaguar gear. I was down in St. Petersburg, and that's all I hear. What's wrong with your Jaguars this year, man? What's wrong with them? All I could do is shrug, because I don't know what's going on. Defense, again, came out for the first 30 minutes of football, non-existent, bad penalties, broken coverages. That's after coming off a bye week, that's terrible,
yeah.
You know? Not winning a divisional game yet after we won the division last year. That's a gut punch, you know, not winning a divisional game right now. And the best thing about this, the Steelers game moving from 8:30 to 1 o'clock is I get to talk to you guys after the game. So I'll talk to you guys next week.
Junior, thank you for the phone call, my friend. Appreciate it. Yeah, the 0-3 in the division is a real head-scratcher. This isn't exactly a very tough division. The Titans are 5-4. The Colts are 4-5. I mean – The Texans are clearly the best team in the division at 6-3. We're not exactly the AFC West here. Then to be 0-3 and to lose those three division games, just a bitter, bitter pill to swallow. The Jaguars were the team in the AFC South last year. That is obviously no longer the case.
Yeah, some of the stuff coming out of the locker room. Malik Jackson was asked. I think Brent Martineau asking the question. What changed for them in the second half? Because we talked about it earlier. The first half was just awful. I mean, it was just terrible. The amount of blown coverages that you saw. Eric Ebron had the game of his life, most of it happening in the first half.
Eric Ebron had a rushing touchdown.
He did.
In this game. How about that?
it was the same sort of the similar play that the Jaguars wanted to run with Niles Paul.
Yeah, Niles Paul tears his knee up on a similar play. Eric Ebron against the Jaguars scores a touchdown. That's just the kind of season it's been.
Yeah, and so Malik was asked what changed in the second half for the Jaguar defense. We can't play you that audio.
No,
but
just know Malik Jackson spoke his mind.
He said, "We blanking did our blank." That's what changed. We did our blank.
Yeah, and you know, I would normally say I'm happy there's anger. There was anger a month ago. At some point, it's going to become apathy. At some point, they can see the standings. They can see it's just not going to happen this year, and that's what's unfortunate because we still have seven games to play. 6-4-1-10-10. Let's go to Tallahassee. Let's bring up Jonathan here on 1010XL. Jonathan, what's going on?
I mean, you guys have basically summed it up. I mean, this is not pretty at all. I mean, sure, Blake played really well today, but, I mean, at the end of the day, we fell short. It was an excellent effort, but like I said, I mean, you've had a lot of injuries this year, and you lose your center today, and a lot of things have happened this year that are not in our control, and injuries happens to be one of them. But we are held to high expectations, and I think we were the sneaky pick last week, and no one thought of us to win as many games as we did.
Yeah,
and we were able to overcome all the obstacles that. What were we last year at that point? 3-4, 3-5?
Well, the Jaguars were 3-3 last year, and then they went on a run where they won every game until they went to Arizona. Obviously finished 10-6. They would have to win out to duplicate that this year, which is not going to happen. Jonathan, it's been a heck of a football season for you, my friend. Florida State's terrible. The Jaguars aren't any good. You've been struggling over there.
Yeah, Lincoln's advanced to the second round to host Edgewater.
That's what you got, Friday night. Yeah. Hey, Jonathan, appreciate the phone call. Jonathan's a big Lincoln fan, so at least he's got high school football on Friday nights. But certainly it's been a rough year for the Noles. It's been a rough year for the Jaguars. That, to me, Gibson, is one of the more frustrating elements of this. It's something different every week. One week it's the offensive line. The next week it's Blake. The next week it's Nate Hackett's play calling. The next week it's the defense. It's so many things. They don't all flare up at once, but over the course of a season, we have seen so many issues cost us football team games.
I wonder about Barry Church right now. It's not been great for him. And then, of course, you had the whole London thing. He was involved in that.
Well, then here's the thing about Barry Church. Didn't we know this at the draft? Same thing with Parnell. What did we talk about? This is Barry Church, probably his last year in Jacksonville. This is probably Parnell's last year in Jacksonville. You don't draft Ronnie Harrison in the third round and expect him not to take over pretty soon. You don't draft Will Richardson in the fourth round, although he's on IR now, and not expect him to take over pretty soon. We kind of had the thought that this was Church and Parnell's final year here. It has not really been good for either guy.
Do you remember, and I know you do, this is a rhetorical question, but early in the game, you and I were watching it together, and there was a Marlon Mack run to the right. And somebody got absolutely annihilated.
Was it Quentin Nelson annihilated
Quentin
somebody?
Quentin Nelson annihilated Barry Church.
Was it Church?
It was Barry Church, and that was one. And now, look, it's Quentin.
It was the absolute definition of a pancake block.
It was hammer, sledgehammer meet nail.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah. And the entire Jaguars secondary was bad today. Ramsey. I don't know if Ramsey got beat, but I can tell you this. Ramsey was around a lot of guys that were catching footballs.
Well, when you see the back of his jersey, that kind of tells the story.
6-4-1-10-10 to the west side. Let's get Paul up here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I appreciate your show.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I just want to make a comment about the defense. I feel like last year everything was clicking. We had Paul Posluszny here, and he had that leadership, that drive, and he brought it all together. I know he wasn't playing a lot because it was towards the end of his career, but he goes away, and the defense starts falling apart. And I know they're probably the most talented defense in the league, but they're just missing that leadership, bringing them together. They get in trouble in London. they get mad, the penalties, the late hits, just the lack of discipline. It's frustrating to watch when you know they have all the ability in the world, but they can't keep their head in the game and make smart plays. And I'll take it off the air. I appreciate it.
Hey, Paul, thank you for listening. To Paul's point, what is that old saying, Gibson? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, right? That's what people say?
That's correct.
How many personal foul late hit penalties does the defense have to get over a year? And every time it happens, they flail their arms up in the air. They think the refs are out to get them, and it's the worst call ever, and this, that, and the other. Okay, well, how many times do you have to do that before you learn you're not allowed to do that? Every game, there's one late hit, and then when the flag comes out, the defense can't believe it, and they're hooping and hollering and raising Kane. Whether you agree with it or not, the precedent has been set. If you're Miles Jack, you can't come annihilate a defenseless receiver when he's going to the ground. Of course that's a personal foul. And I had people on Twitter saying, oh, I can't believe they called that. Well, what do you mean you can't believe they called it? We've been talking about it ad nauseum on every show on this radio station. Whether you like it or not, you need to accept it as fact. That's what the NFL is now. And every single week the Jaguars do something where they can't believe a flag is thrown on them. I'm getting so sick of them flailing their arms up in the air in disbelief. After you do it 7 or 8 times, it shouldn't be disbelief anymore. It's the way the NFL is calling these games. You need to learn to adjust to it.
I said this back in the summer when you and I were doing Hacker After Dark. I think the way that the game is officiated now hurts the Jaguars, because the Jaguars are an aggressive defense. They're going to play sometimes after the whistle. They're going to be guys that are getting these penalties. You know, like it or not, they get them. And it's just, it's a tough part of the game that they have to be able to get over. I mean, look, there are people that you said were surprised that they threw that flag. I was surprised at the way they're officiating games today that Miles Jack wasn't ejected.
I thought Jack might have been tossed. I agree with you.
I mean, Miles Jack took a headshot when two guys were tackling a receiver, and he's probably going to get fined, and I'm not so sure he shouldn't have got ejected.
Let's go to the west side. Speaking of Miles Jack, well, let's just get regular Jack up here from the west side. Jack, how you doing?
Hey, good, Jimmy. I am not Miles. but I'm calling. Like, everybody talks about things, and I'm going to say this. Nobody considers a lack of discipline. Hey, do y'all realize that since the second half of the Patriots game, our offense has been stagnant? Nothing has changed. Nothing at all. Same play. First down, we're going to run the ball. Mm-hmm. Crazy. It goes back. If you think back to that game, and since that game, the offense has been stagnant. It's been the same. Defense, I don't know if it's the players, or if it's the plays that are being called, if the system. But we need to look, not always look at the players, because the players only do what they're coached to do. And if we don't coach them up, and I'm an old coach, I'm a very old coach, but if we don't coach the players up to play right, they're not going to do it. Even though these are grown men and they're getting paid, sometimes you have to sit them down if they're not doing their job. And I'll take it off the air with that.
Hey, Jack, thank you for the phone call, my friend. Appreciate it. Yeah, the 1st and 10 runs, we talked about that earlier. It was comical at times. And I think finally at one point in the fourth quarter, they actually threw the ball on 1st and 10. But by and large, I'd have to go play by play and drive by drive. I would have to think 80-90% of the time on 1st and 10, they were running the ball right at the middle and just getting stuffed.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and look through the play-by-play. But, you know, look, the Jaguars just didn't throw down the field. They haven't done that all year. But, you know, most of the first down plays, and we talked about it earlier, they were getting criticized a little bit on the CBS broadcast today with Adam Archuleta, the former safety, saying that, man, I wish, you know, they should probably mix up the first down play calling. And, look, they did in the second half. You know, Blake began to throw the ball on first down.
Dave, Chad, Dean, all you guys, hang in there. I promise we will get to you. We're taking phone calls all the way up until 8 o'clock tonight. It is the fifth quarter on 1010XL with Andrew Gibson, the hacker, Ryan Green with you. As always, the Window World of Northeast Florida. Fifth quarter, we are presented by Florida Pump Service and by Adamac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles, Indianapolis 29, Jacksonville 26. The Colts improved to 4-5. The Jaguars fall to 3-6 on the year. and they are now in the cellar at the very bottom of the AFC South. More of your phone calls next here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Putting an extra 60 minutes on the clock. The Window World of Northeast Florida Fifth Quarter. Presented by Florida Pump Service and Atomac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles. On 1010XL 92.5 FM.
With Andrew Gibson, the hacker Ryan Green with you on the fifth quarter. Glad you're with us, Jacksonville. Jacksonville falls today to Indianapolis 29-26. Every week here on the fifth quarter, we do give you a defensive player of the game. It is brought to you by Superior Fence and Rail. Let's do it right now. The Superior Fence and Rail defensive player of the game.
Defense wins championships. This is the defensive player of the game, presented by Superior Fence and Rail, where quality matters.
Play fake. Going downfield, wide open, and picked off by Telvin Smith after it went in and out of the hands of Mo Alie-Cox. What an athletic interception by Telvin. Alie-Cox was wide open on the far sideline, but he bobbled it, and Telvin picked it off. What a play by Telvin Smith.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars Radio. Look, it was not a good defensive performance in the first half. Having said that, it was a pretty good defensive performance in the second half. The Jaguars figured out some things, or else the Colts just got very conservative, maybe a combination of the two. But nevertheless, Gibson, Telvin Smith led the team in tackles today. Had eight tackles, six of them solo, and an interception to stop a Colts scoring opportunity. Because of that, Telvin Smith is this week's defensive player of the game.
Yeah, it was a heck of a play by Telvin, but you could tell just by the tenor of Frank's voice with Jeff Loggeman there on the call that it looked like he got beat on the play, and he did. He did get beat a little bit in coverage, but he's able to come back and really make an athletic play for that interception. A couple things for Telvin, his first pick of the year. For Telvin, he did have eight tackles, like you said. Since 2014, Telvin Smith has the most interceptions on this team.
Wow, apparently Telvin was pretty banged up today, too. That shoulder's given him some problems. There was some thought as whether he was going to play or not, to be honest.
Yeah.
But he went out there, and he played a very good game today. And because of that, Telvin Smith is this week's defensive player of the game. 641-1010 is the phone number. We're there till 8 o'clock, Jacksonville. Glad you are with us. Let's head to McClenny. Here on a Sunday evening, let's bring up Chad. Chad, you're on the fifth quarter, man. What's happening?
Hey, buddy. Yeah, first, I want to correct you. You said the Patriots' worst loss since 2000. Actually, don't forget 2014. They got blown out by Kansas City, 41-14. That was the game where Belichick kept saying, run to Cincinnati, run to Cincinnati, and Brady threw like two big interceptions. But anyway, Jalen Ramsey may want to keep his mouth shut in the offseason. Don't go to GQ Magazine, because that guy you said that wasn't any good, he torched our butts. He was like 16-20, threw three touchdowns in the first half. So, look, I think the Jaguars got a little bit of an ego, had a little bit ego problem in the offseason, kind of got a big head, and now we're seeing, yeah, obviously they can talk the talk, but they couldn't walk the walk. It's been a disappointing season, and I think there's going to be some changes in the offseason. I don't know where or how it's going to happen, but something's got to change. You guys have a great night. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Chad, thank you. Yeah, certainly there'll be some changes in the offseason. Again, there can only be so many, right? It's going to be coordinators, quarterbacks, personnel, management. I mean, you can pretty much narrow it down as to who's going to be in trouble job security-wise. But, yeah, I mean, you have all the expectations coming into this year. You not only don't live up to expectations, but you're arguably the most disappointing team in all of professional football. Absolutely, there will be changes to some capacity this offseason.
Yeah, and you might, you know, you never know. You might see both coordinators, honestly. You might see that. Yeah, just going back to that Patriots, I saw Jeff Howell, who writes, he's one of the beat writers in Boston. It's their most lopsided loss in November since 2000 in the month of November.
The month of November.
That's what I said earlier. And you're right, it is a 24-point loss today for the Patriots to a Titans team that, look, kind of finding themselves.
Well, what was interesting, Deion Lewis, the former New England Patriot, now on the Tennessee Titans, ran his mouth after today's win.
He did.
I'm paraphrasing here, but basically said, when you go cheap, like the Patriots did, I guess they didn't offer him a lot of money, then you get your butt kicked. So not a lot of people can run smack at the Patriots, but when you beat them by 24, I guess Deion Lewis has every right to do that right now.
Yeah, he does. And Deion Lewis has been a very good player this year for the Titans. Of course, Derrick Henry did score, I think, twice
today.
Yeah,
Henry got in the end zone twice.
But Deion Lewis has been everything that they could have asked for in free agency.
We were out at the beaches earlier. It was a great time at the watch party. Let's go back to the beaches. Let's bring up Dave here on the fifth quarter. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How y'all fellas doing tonight?
Dave, we're okay, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, man, I just think we need to start talking about Blake Bortles as a quarterback, man. From what I've been seeing for the past 3 years, this man is afraid to throw the ball past 30 yards. You know, I know he had a completion of 80 yards today for basically the first play of the game, but in the middle of the game, when things are tight, your quarterback is supposed to take your team down the field and put them in positions to win the game. You know, I see in the second half, the defense did that. They gave us a chance to win the ball game, but the quarterback had the ball last and he couldn't get it done. We had
Rashad Green fumbled the ball, Dave.
I understand that, but you know what? The quarterback need to get the team in a position to walk the whole game, you know? He's just not doing that. We had chances against the Chiefs. The defense was giving us every opportunity to win that game, you know? But these boneheaded mistakes that continue to hold this team back time and time again. I don't know when Coughlin and Caldwell's really going to have a sit-down with this guy and let him know, you know, we're going to have to move on.
Hey, Dave, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate the opinion. Blake Bortles was 26 of 38 for 320 yards, two touchdowns, and no picks. If you're going to pick a day to call the fifth quarter and rip Blake, today's probably not it. And look, does Blake check the ball down too much? Of course he does. I would argue that the Jaguars probably have the worst receiving core in the league, certainly one of the worst receiving cores in the league, which probably has something to do with that. But don't call in and say Blake cost you the game, Blake didn't put you in position to win. Blake had you at the Colts 25, and Rashad Green fumbled the ball. That is 110% not on Blake Bortles this afternoon.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, this game, look, Blake has been a problem this year in several games. He was not a problem for this Jaguar team today. It was not on him. He had his 20th career 300-yard passing game, and sometimes we look at the numbers a little bit too much. But look at the game. He had you in position to take this game today. And Rashad Green, a guy who's been cut twice this year, fumbled the ball.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, there is criticism. I get you on the checkdowns and not throwing the ball down the field. Absolutely. If you want to call and say that about Blake and about this offense, yeah. Don't give me that Blake didn't put you in position to win the game.
And
they would have easily gone into overtime if Rashad Green would have simply held on to the ball.
And I thought it was interesting he used the Chiefs game as a reference to say that the offense was trying to put the – they had no chance at all in that Chiefs game. It was 20-0 at halftime. They were never in that Chiefs game.
Yeah, the defense has been bad. And look – the Chiefs game was almost an exact replica of this one. You know, you get down early, and you can't climb your way out of it in the second half. There is absolute criticism to put on the offense, but a lot of it to me is on the fumble by Rashad Green. Let's go to the south side, get Dean up here on the fifth quarter. Dean, how are you?
Good evening. Just wanted to get with you with the Jags' performance today and prior to this. I think the dynamic of the season was set in motion when the Jags were talking about who was going to get paid, not paid on the defensive side of the ball, Jalen Ramsey running his mouth and talking about, you know, playoff seeding of the game against New England, though. I mean, the dynamic was set. They just haven't won, though. I mean, you were just talking about that Tennessee player. Yeah, he can talk all the trash he wants in the 10th week of the season, but New England has proven that they can win season year in, year out, though. So I just think the Jags, you know, aside from all the other specifics as far as the offense, defense, stuff like that, I just think either a team knows how to win or doesn't know how to win. And the Jags just they had a great season last year, but they didn't win for the long – they didn't set it up for the long term, though. And it just shows week in, week out.
Hey, Dean, thank you. That's the most fascinating thing. A year ago this time, 10 months ago this time, this team was winning huge games. Huge games. Now, yeah, they have had some injuries. Cam Robinson and Marquise Lee, and we can certainly go on down the line, but – for the most part, that's your defense out there that did so many great things last year. Minus Aaron Colvin, minus Paul Posluszny, those are your guys out there. Saxonville and everything that went with that a year ago. And that first half today was probably the worst first half of worst half of defensive football I've seen the Jaguars have in the last two seasons.
Yeah, and I keep going back to Barry Church, and I'm not trying to pile on the guy, but at some point for me, I'm ready to put Ronnie Harrison in the game, to be honest with you. I mean, the guy is not playing good. I mean, he's not playing well, and a lot of times that I've seen a lot of these busted coverages, you got guys in the secondary looking around, and Barry Church is one of the guys doing that.
1 hour down, 1 hour to go. I will remind you, we're on with you till 8 o'clock, but the local programming does not stop there. Denny Thompson, James Coleman, they will have the Sports Den from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock tonight here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Patrick, Allen, Mike, hang in there. You three will be the first on deck. Jaguars fall today to Indianapolis, 29-26. We got 1 hour to go with you here on the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Florida Pump Service and by Adamac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter, presented by Florida Pump Service and Adamac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Guys running open, and you know we've got to do a better job. We got to, you know, be where we should be and defend some of those plays. But you know, obviously, you know, when you guys had, you know, let guys run that far open, I mean, you got a guy like Luck, he's going to obviously find those guys and be able to deliver the ball. So, you know, we did a good job in the second half, but we didn't do a good enough job in that first half.
Jaguar head coach Doug Marrone talking to Jaguars radio in the post game about the defense giving up big plays, and there were big plays aplenty for the Indianapolis Colts in the first half. The Colts score all 29 of their points in half number one. Defense shuts them out, right? I think Colts only had like 60, 70 yards of total offense
right. In
the second half, but the damage had already been done in the first half. With Andrew Gibson, the Hacker, Ryan Green with you. Every week here on the fifth quarter, we do give you a special teams player of the game. It is brought to you by the McKeever Clinic. Matt, let's do it right now. The McKeever Clinic Special Teams Player of the Game.
Now, the Special Teams Player of the Game.
We be special!
Brought to you by the Urological Specialists of McKeever Clinic.
It's hard this far along into a franchise to see a first of any kind happen. Certainly, we're still waiting for the first Lombardi Trophy to be hoisted. It's probably not going to happen this year. I'm probably not breaking any news there, Gibson. But you're going back, what, 24, 25 years? First time ever today, the Jaguars convert a fake field goal. And they did. Logan Cook completing a four-yard down and out. I don't even know who caught it.
O'Shaughnessy.
O'Shaughnessy caught it. Yeah, one of his five catches. Okay, so Cook to O'Shaughnessy. Honorable mention to DJ Chark. He had some nice return yardage. But Logan Cook, one for one for 4 yards on the fake field goal. And because of that, Logan Cook is this week's special teams player of the game.
Yeah, good on Logan Cook to complete that pass to O'Shaughnessy. And look, Marrone made the call there. And
it's a gutsy call, and it worked.
It's a big-time call. And, you know, for a second, we were unsure whether or not it was a fake. We thought maybe he just
– I thought he bobbled the snap, maybe.
Yeah, sometimes you have to do that when there's a bad snap. But it was a fake, and you saw Josh Lambeau actually go out and run a route to the other side of the formation. But you know, that drive ultimately was a 17-play, 75-yard drive.
It was a big boy drive. There is absolutely no question about that. By the way, Lambeau getting the extra point block, missing the 50-yarder. It was a tough day at the office. But then coming back and drilling that 55-yarder is what makes Josh Lambeau so special. Normally when a kicker's having a bad day, you wouldn't even put him out there to try a 55-yarder. Marrone had confidence in him, and he drilled it to bring him to within three. So I thought Lambeau responded beautifully.
Look, Josh Lambeau's played 19 games in his Jaguar career. He's hitting 94% of his field goals.
Yeah, that Josh Lambeau is certainly not one of the problems. 641-1010 is the phone number. Back to the phone lines we go. Let's head to East Arlington. Let's bring up Patrick. Patrick, you're on 1010XL. What's going on?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Patrick, we're good, man. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Hey, I just had a quick statement and a couple follow-up questions. You know, firstly, I just ask that us as fans, and especially on radio, we just got to be more critical of these guys. I mean, you know, like you mentioned earlier, these are boys getting paid, and we have too many top five draft picks on the defensive line for them not to be performing. And boy, they need to be called out. There's a reason winning cities also have very critical fans, and I would like to follow that. But my quick questions are, you know, with that said about the first round draft picks and the high expectations on at least the defensive side of the ball, last year Doug Marrone had these boys lined up, especially in the playoffs. They looked hungry and ready to go, and I honestly feel like he's lost the team. I mean, numerous weeks in a row, you have guys, you know, from everything from England to, I mean, look at Church's performance today. He should have stayed in England. And my second question is, do you think that, you know, now that we're, again, not to break anyone's hearts, but pretty much out of the playoffs this year, do you see us playing back, maybe making a trade, selling anytime before the day, you know, anything like that? But I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thanks a lot.
Hey, Patrick, thank you. Well, the trade deadline has come and gone, so that's not going to happen. Marrone losing the team. That's an interesting thought. I don't think Doug Marrone has lost the team. Having said that, good football teams don't have four players getting in issues in London, England, 36 hours before a football game is to be held, running up an astronomical bar tab. Okay, good football teams don't have a player proclaiming himself out of the game without the head coach knowing about it, the head coach being asked about it, as was the case with A.J. Boye this past week, and Marrone's like, well, we'll take care of that. Boye told, I believe it was D-Rock, right? Mike, yep. DiRocco, that he's not going to play, that Marrone's asked about it half an hour later. He was clueless that Boye, that he, trainer hadn't told him that. That's lack of communication, if nothing else. It does make you wonder a little bit. These things keep happening. Maybe there are some internal issues there. But again, I don't think Marrone has lost the team. I think far from it. But I do think there has been some issues that probably will be addressed in the offseason with personnel moves.
You know, I think at times there can be instances of a disconnect. And Marrone said it himself. Last week, Marrone was asked, you know, why is this team not performing well? This is actually going into the bye week. He was asked why the team is not performing well. And Marrone said, I'm doing a poor job of communicating to the players. He said, if you want to look at why this team's not doing well and why they're not living up to expectation, the first person you got to look at is me. And Marrone took ownership of that. And look, I appreciate a coach not, you know, giving excuses and saying this or that. He said, look, I haven't done a good enough job of communicating with the guys, and I think you're seeing that, unfortunately.
The fact they've lost 6 out of 7. 6 out of 7.
Well, and the thing about that, too, you talk about how good teams do this and good teams don't do this. Remember, this is, had been one of the things that they had said in the locker room this year. I've heard Calais Campbell say it a couple times. Well, good teams don't lose 2 in a row. They've lost 5 in a row.
Yeah, bad teams lose 5 in a row. And guess what? The Jaguars are a bad football team right now. Let's head back to East Arlington. Alan is on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Alan, how you doing?
Good, man. Hey, thanks for having me on. A great program. I love listening to your show, whether we win or whether we lose. I'm a Jaguar fan through and through, okay?
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, yes, sir. So my question is, and having played both sides of the football for over 8 years, okay? My question is, did they not look lost? There were times when the ball was being hiked and the defense was still looking back at one another. I mean, y'all may or may not have covered this. I'm just telling you, I was just like, wow, I can't believe a professional team, that this is what these guys do day in and day out, and this is what we get as a fan and a paying fan at that. So I'll take it off the air, but golly, they seem so confused. There needs to be some accountability. I'm not sure where it starts other than the head coach and what they're going to do about it, but I hope we get some good answers pretty soon.
All right, Alan, thank you for the phone call. Gibson, I was shocked at how wide open Eric Ebron was on a couple of those plays. There was another play, T.Y. Hilton. Of all the guys on the Indianapolis Colts that you want to stop, I would say T.Y. Hilton's probably at the top of that list. Ran wide open behind Miles Jack and in front of Barry Church. I don't know if that's scheme. I don't know if that's just poor play. But whatever it is, it was bad at times today up in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and there were times that players would come to the sideline and look at Todd Wash like, what the hell is going on? I saw one instance where Todd Watch was having a real conversation with Unique Ngakoue, and I'd love to know what was said. Perhaps I'll ask Rick Ballew tomorrow if he was nearby at that point in the sideline. But I don't know. It's that was one of the more baffling things about this performance today that I took away from it was the amount of blown coverages they had, particularly in the first half, because the second half was better on defense. But the first half was just bad.
Yeah, the Jaguars were good, rush defense-wise. Indianapolis carried the ball 23 times for 81 yards. Their leading rusher, Jordan Wilkins, just because he had a 53-yard run. But then Marlon Mack, 12 for 29.
Yeah, and Mack is a good player. He's a really explosive running back, and they bottled him up today.
Yeah, I mean, no issues with the rush defense by and large. The pass defense in the first half was terrible. The Colts had 285 yards passing, most of that in the first half. Hilton was 77, Ebron 69, a couple of scores. Dontrell Edmonds, a Jaguar killer. I remember Dontrell Edmonds. Wasn't he the
Chargers.
Guy with the Chargers?
Yeah, they didn't
a
have
couple
any,
years ago.
They didn't have any receivers. They signed him like the week before, and he killed the Jaguars.
I remember coming in here on the fifth quarter, and we were like, who's Dontrell Edmonds? I just assumed he's like an Uber driver or something. I had never heard of this guy in my life. And he just torched the Jaguars when he was with then the San Diego Chargers. Dontrell Edmonds again today, 4 for 41, doing a very good job. Jack Doyle, 3 for 38. But that's what I'm talking about with the Colts. No offense to these guys. They're NFL players. They're some of the best in the world. But this is who beat you today. Dontrell Edmonds, Jack Doyle, Mo Alie-Cox.
A former basketball player, by the way.
Ryan Grant, Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines, and then you had T.Y. Hilton and Eric Ebron. That's not exactly Antonio Brown, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, or any of the sort. And yet they put 285 on this vaunted Jaguar secondary.
It was, wow, it's just about this time in 2015 when Dontrell Inman with the then San Diego Chargers put 5 for 65 and a touchdown.
It was absolutely incredible. That was the Phillip Rivers 3rd and 17 game.
31-25.
And I never in my life thought I'd see Phillip Rivers rush for 18 yards in a first down. The guy's 93 years old. And on 3rd and 17, he rushed for 18 yards and a first down. I thought 2015 and 16, the horrid memories we have from those years were behind us. Not only are they not behind us, Gibson, they seem to be alive and well here in 2018.
Well, and in an observation about the Colts, I think the combination of Andrew Luck and Frank Reich is going to be pretty good for years to come. And there are a lot of people that thought that Andrew Luck was done. I remember telling you in the summertime, I didn't think he was done. I thought, you know, a lot of people said that, I don't know about the shoulder. And look, I'm not going to say I was fully confident, but I thought when Andrew Luck finally comes back around, I think he'll be pretty much close to the same guy. But give credit to Frank Reich today. I thought the handoff on third down for a touchdown to Ebron was a hell of a play call.
Let's go to the beaches. Let's bring up Mike here on the fifth quarter. Mike, what's going on?
How are you guys doing, Steven?
Mike, we're hanging in there, bud. How are you?
Doing good. You know, this defense has been playing very poor, this obviously, for the past 5 or 6 games. And you guys remember, before Bradley got fired, most of these players, like Ramsey, have been calling out our defensive coordinator. Is it time for us to maybe to make that change at defensive coordinator? We're not going anywhere anytime soon. And maybe, I mean, just get rid of Walsh and just see if we can fix this thing and put a halfway decent season together at the end. I do think the breakdown is with Walsh. I don't think he has been that good of a defensive coordinator. I think we caught lightning in a bottle at the end of the year. And now I don't feel like we make any kind of adjustments. We're always in zone coverage. We don't let these guys play football. And this is a very talented defense. And I'm not like want to get rid of the whole defense. I think we just need to change up the scheme a little bit.
Hey, Mike, thank you. Like we talked about a lot during the offseason, everybody raved about this Jaguar defense, and with good reason. They did a lot of good things last year. I think Jaguar fans, you either forgot or blocked out a couple of things that happened towards the end of last year. The fact that San Francisco put a 44 burger on you. The fact that Arizona put 27 on you. The fact that in the playoffs, Pittsburgh scored at will and put 42 on you against this Jaguar defense. The Patriots, 2 fourth-quarter touchdowns to beat you in the AFC title game. They put 24 on you. The point being, this Jaguar defense was not very good towards the end of last year. They were better than they are now, but people had begun figuring them out a little bit, and that has completely translated into this year. So I hate to use the term overrated on a team that we cover on a daily basis, but maybe, Gibson, this defense was a little overrated coming into this season because I thought they were exposed a little bit towards the end of last year, and that seemingly is what's happening right now.
Well, I think what we saw in the first half with those busted coverages, to me, that's just that's preparation. That's just the team doesn't know what's coming. Or they're just not on the same page. And, yeah, you can say that's on the players, but that's on the coordinator, man. I mean, you've got to have these guys prepared and ready to go. And at times in the first half, they looked unprepared.
Terry, Casey, the rest of you guys, hang in there. We will get to you on the other side. If you want to get in Jacksonville, there is room for you. 641-1010 is the phone number, 641-1010. We're with you for another 40 minutes here on the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Florida Pump Service and by Adamac Harley Davidson Motorcycles. We will take you up until 8 o'clock, and then we will hand things off to Denny Thompson and James Coleman. The Sports Den will have you from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock tonight here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. We'll also go down the scores of the late games. A lot of the late games finishing up. Green Bay has just finished off Miami. The Packers get a big home win today over the Miami Dolphins. But again, your phone calls are next with Andrew Gibson, the Hacker, Ryan Green with you here on the fifth quarter, 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter, presented by Florida Pump Service and Adamac Harley Davidson Motorcycles on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
More of your phone calls, Jacksonville, coming up in a matter of moments. Every week here on the fifth quarter, Gibson and I do give you a play of the game. It is brought to you by our friends at Performance Painting, and let's do that right now, the Performance Painting play of the game.
Now, the Performance Painting play of the game.
What?
Performance Painting, quality coatings applied with pride.
Empty backfield for Blake. Three right, two left. Shotgun, he drops the throw. Bortles looks, fires deep down the field. Once Dante Moncrief, Dante has a catch into Colts territory, still on his feet. Along the right sideline, inside the 20, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown. Bortles to Dante Moncrief for the score. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars radio, 80 yards, right? Blake Bortles to Dante Moncrief. How good at the time must that have felt for Dante Moncrief? There was, I don't know if ill will is the right words, but I've heard out of Indy that they had some things to say, at least some media members did, when Moncrief left to come to Jacksonville. And then for him to go back up there and catch an 80-yard touchdown at the time, Gibson, had to feel ridiculously good. That is this week's Performance Painting play of the game.
I'm sure Dante Moncrief wanted to say something along the lines of what Deion Lewis said today about the New England Patriots. And if you miss that, that's what happens when you go cheap. You got your arse kicked.
Yeah, Deion Lewis had a lot to say. Let's go over some of the scores real quick. The late games are just finishing up. Green Bay defeats Miami. The Rams are in a battle right now. They are up 36-31 on Seattle. Now, Seattle has the ball with about a minute to go. They got to drive the length of the field and score a touchdown. Former Jaguar Dante Fowler. Two personal fouls. We remember those very well.
Personal Fowler.
But he also had a strip sack today of Russell Wilson, so some good and bad for Fowler. Speaking of former Jaguars, in one of the early contests, Allen Robinson went off.
Yes.
Allen Robinson, what was his stats? Six catches.
133 and two touchdowns.
133 yards and two touchdowns.
Jaguars said nah.
Yeah. The Chargers, by the way, beat the Raiders 20-6, so the Chargers improve to 7-2. They are the quietest 7-2 team in the league. Everybody's talking about Kansas City.
Who?
In the AFC West.
Chargers?
The Chargers.
Oh, yeah.
At 7-2, just going about their business. The Raiders are terrible at 1-8. Other finals today, Washington over Tampa 16-3. How about Buffalo? 41-10 over New York with Matt Barkley as their starting quarterback. Kansas City over Arizona. Tennessee, we talked about them destroying New England 34-10. Gibson, what happened to your Falcons? Cleveland 28-16, the third win of the year for the Browns.
Nick Chubb ran all over them today.
Chubb had like a 92-yard touchdown.
He had the longest touchdown run in Browns history. They're a guy who had a couple of good running backs back in the day.
New Orleans Saints 51-14 over Cincinnati So, yeah, there you go. And the only game ongoing right now, Seattle's got the ball at their own. Or actually, no, they're in the Rams' territory. They're at the Rams about 35 or so with 40 seconds to go. Seattle trailing by 5. They need a touchdown to end the Rams, or I guess it would be the second loss in a row for the Rams coming off that loss to New Orleans last week. We will keep you updated. Back to the phone lines here on the fifth quarter. 641-1010 is the phone number if you want to get involved. Let's head to Fernandina Beach. Let's bring up Casey. Casey, you're on 1010XL. How you doing?
Good, man. How y'all doing?
Casey, we're hanging in there, bud. What's happening tonight?
Man, I hate to say this, but I'm going to call this the curse of the Tebow, right? We should have drafted Tebow, first of all, and we should have got him when he could have been released from the Denver Broncos.
All right, Casey, you got anything else, man? I don't want to cut you off. You waited on hold 25 minutes. Anything non-Tebow related?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it going, though.
All right. No, I'm not doing that.
Tebow would have made a big difference today.
Yeah, I'm assuming Casey's kidding because he hung up immediately. Look, I appreciate you waiting on hold like 25 minutes. I mean, I hope me and Gibson sounded good, but if you waited on hold 25 minutes to talk about Tim Tebow, yeah, 641-1010 to East Arlington we go. Let's bring up Terry. Terry, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Terry, we're okay. What's going on tonight?
I called because I usually enjoy listening to your show, but I'm taking exception to something that has been going on through the show, and especially when the guy called in about Blake Bortles, and it was said again. Rashad Greene did fumble the ball, although that was questionable whether his knee was down first. The point of the matter is that instead of trashing him and blaming him for the whole game, I mean, I taught 37 years, so I know how it goes when there's people fighting, the last one gets caught. But, you know, if the defense had not let them make 29 points in the whole first half of the game, we wouldn't be looking at what just happened with Rashad. I'm sorry, I'm partial to Rashad. I know him back to FSU days. You can't meet a nicer guy, and I know you can't, you know, you can just say, well, nice guy still. Well, you know, Blake Bortles makes mistakes all over the place. I can tell you right now that nobody is beating himself up more than he is right now, and you're talking about them cutting him, putting him back, They've been screwing with his head for a long time, and yes, he's made some mistakes, but if you don't put somebody on the field, how do they get to practice what they do? He probably was so shocked they actually threw the ball to him that he forgot to put the other hand on, or he's like, oh my God, I'm catching the ball. It's actually being thrown to me. So anyway, I just don't like the fact that that the whole game's being blamed on him, because if it hadn't gotten to the point where it was, it wouldn't have just been down on his head.
Hey, Terry, thank you for the phone call. I think we've been very critical of the defense.
Yes.
I mean, I started this program saying the defense was horrible in the first half. Absolutely horrible. And what is the exact thing I said about Rashad Greene? I know there's a lot of people that like Rashad because of his Florida State days, which is verbatim what Terry just said. And Rashad is a great guy. I think I even said that too. And that's all nice and wonderful and kumbaya and let's go roast marshmallows. You know who else was a great guy? Gus Bradley. He was a terrible head coach. And I'm not going to come on the flagship radio station of the Jacksonville Jaguars after Rashad Greene fumbles the ball with 2 minutes to go, when you're clearly in field goal range to tie the game going to overtime, and I'm going to say, you know what? Rashad Greene fumbled, but, man, he's such a good guy. Let's just not even talk about it. Let's blame everybody else. Rashad Greene is to blame. The defense is to blame. Lambeau missed a field goal and had an extra point blocked. There were issues on special teams. There were issues all the way around. I do agree with Terry that because Rashad Greene's thing happened last, that's going to get a majority of the conversation, but no, there are numerous people to blame for this loss, but absolutely, absolutely Rashad Greene is one of them.
Yeah, look, it's not, and look, we haven't, on this entire show, we haven't, it's just, it hasn't been 60, 90 minutes of piling on Rashad Greene. I mean, you might have heard a little bit of that, but look.
That's the classic case. People hear what they want to hear.
Look, there were a lot of mistakes made in this game. The last mistake made was fumbling the ball, and the Colts took over and won the game. And,
yeah.
And that's essentially what happened. I mean, Rashad Greene, I don't know Rashad Greene personally, and look, I know that she does, but look, it's about making plays. It doesn't matter if they're a good or bad person. You got to go out there and you can't fumble the ball. And to me, I was even surprised, honestly, that Rashad Green was put in that position. Rashad Green on the season has 2 catches for 17 yards. He's been targeted 3 times this year. I don't even know why he was on the field in the first place.
I completely agree with you. If you're in a 5-wide set, is Rashad Green one of your 5 best skill position players? No, he's not.
He's not.
I mean, you got Moncrief, you got Westbrook, you got Cole, you got Yeldon, you got Fournette. O'Shaughnessy had done some nice things. Yeah, I don't know why necessarily Rashad Green was in that situation. I hope nothing comes of this. I hope that Rashad Green continues being a Jaguar and does great things. But I can tell you right now, and I'm sure he feels bad about it. We all feel bad about it. Because as a result of that fumble, the Jaguars did not have an opportunity to tie the game with under 2 minutes to go.
And speaking of fumble, Dante Fowler actually had the game clincher today for the Los Angeles.
He had another one?
Yeah, he had he had one earlier. That was essentially, at the end of the day, what won him the game. 36-31, the Rams win it.
Rams just win it now to go to 9. They're 9-1, right? Yeah, 9-1.
Yes.
On the year. They have not had their bye week yet. Let's go to the south side. Let's bring James up here on the fifth quarter. James, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
James, we're all right, man. What's going on?
Well, I just want to say, I'm not a gigantic Bortles fan, but he played good today, right, with the receivers we got? Imagine how he would do with great receivers. We got Moncrief, okay? He had a good game today. Westbrook and Cole. You know, I mean, give him some good receivers. He'd probably be a good quarterback. I have no idea. Who is this Bell guy, the tight end, that's catching all these balls? I mean, we have no receivers. We have no offensive receivers. Do you agree that can get open and do anything? Do you agree?
Well, no, I do agree. Now, Blake Bell, I mean, the tight end position, look, Safarian Jenkins and Niles Paul are out. So you can't really blame who is this Bell guy, and I get what you're saying. They're decimated by injury at tight end. They're bringing guys essentially off the street to come in and play. But, yeah, the wide receiving core, I've said it many times. I don't know if there's a more unproven wide receiving core in all the National Football League. There are issues with the wide receiving core here in Jacksonville. Essentially what you have Dante Moncrief, who the Colts really had no interest in re-signing. You got a fourth-round pick in 2017 in D.D. Westbrook. You got an undrafted guy in 2017 in Keelan Cole out of Kentucky Wesleyan, who was benched in London for fumbling the ball and dropping some passes. And you got a second-round pick in 2018 in D.J. Chark, right along with Rashad Green. So very unproven commodities at wide receiver. I don't know how good or how bad they could be given time, but I know right now if you look at every team in the league, I think the Jaguars would be towards the bottom, if not at the very bottom, when you rate the wide receiving cores as a whole.
Yeah, and I think it's actually pretty impressive that Blake Bortles was able to throw for 320 yards today, and Keelan Cole was not targeted. DJ Chark didn't catch a pass, and I understand that Moncrief had an 80-yard play, but it was pretty pretty good effort from Blake's part of the game today. It wasn't his fault that they lost.
Let's go to the south side, Chris. Up here on the fifth quarter. Chris, you're on 1010XL. What's going on?
What's up, man?
Chris, how are you, bud?
First off, hey, I'm hanging in there, man. It's getting the day wind down. But I got to say 2 things, man. First off, the defense, particularly in linebackers and safety, are becoming a liability. They look kind of lost today. It didn't look like they came to play, especially the first half. And I have to do it. I have to do it, man. In my Colin Coward voice, we're looking like Saxonville to Lastonville. He predicted we'll be winless in the division. We're 0-3 so far. Please don't let this man have a segment on his show when Colin is right and have our logo on it.
Hey, Chris, thank you very much. Yeah, Colin Coward does that show on Fox Sports 1 every day. I don't even know when it's on, but it's on at some point. And he said earlier in the year, and you and I came on and blasted Coward, that the Jaguars were going to go 0-6 in the AFC South. I think we called him everything under the sun, saying it was ridiculous and ludicrous and he's an idiot and this, that, and the other. Man, Jaguars aren't winning in Nashville on a Thursday night.
I don't see it.
Unless you're driving right now. Raise your hand if you think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to Nashville and winning that game. I don't think a lot of hands are being raised right now.
That team has your number.
Are the Jaguars going to Houston in Week 17 if the Texans need to win that game? And are they going to beat the Texans? Now, they could beat the Texans if it's meaningless for Houston, if they already have the division wrapped up. But who thinks Jacksonville is going into Houston and winning that game? Not me. The Jaguars better beat the Colts here in a couple of weeks, or else they will go 0-6 in the division. And that would be absolutely incredible.
And that speaks to our earlier point, the thing that you opened the show with today, and I wholeheartedly agree that this is the most disappointing season given the expectations on this team in Jaguar history.
It's a shame, man. It's an absolute shame. The Jaguars 3-6 on the year, losers of 5 in a row, losers of 6 out of 7, and now they find themselves dead last in the AFC South.
More coming out of the locker room. There were questions asked about the defense. What happened in the first half? Is this Todd Wash's fault? Well, look, the players are not going to throw their coach under the bus. Sometimes players will do that, but Malik Jackson said, and I quote, "Wash is not the problem."
All right, well, there you go. And they're going to back up their guy, and I don't know if Wash is the problem. I have no idea. I don't know if it's poor play. I don't know if you're being outcoached. But what I do know, Gibson, is this. There is a problem defensively for Eric Ebron and T.Y. Hilton and all these guys to be running wide open in the middle of your secondary 15, 20 yards downfield. We're with you to 8 o'clock, Jacksonville, the Sports Den. Denny Thompson, James Coleman, they are coming up from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock here on both 1010XL and 92.5 FM. If you want to get in on the fifth quarter, we'll do one more segment of phone calls. Can probably sneak a couple of you in. We'll be glad to take your calls in the next segment. 641-1010 is the phone number with Andrew Gibson. The Hacker Ryan Green with you, Jacksonville. Glad you're with us here on the fifth quarter. 1010 AM, 92.5 FM.
This is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter, presented by Florida Pump Service and Atomac Harley-Davidson Motorcycles on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Rolling right, they throw it to Fournette in the end zone. Touchdown. A one-yard touchdown pass from Bortles to Leonard Fournette, and Jacksonville scores here in the third.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars Radio. Gibson, thought we needed a little positivity. It's been, I won't go as far as say a very negative show, but for crying out loud, when you're 3-6, you've lost 6 out of 7, and you're 0-3 in the division, and you're going nowhere, it tends to be a little negative from time to time. But Leonard Fournette back in the lineup, did some really nice things today. Blake Bortles, a 300-yard passing game. There were some positives. Unfortunately, not as many as the Jaguars needed in today's 29-26 loss.
Here is a positive number on the Blake Bortles front. The 20th career 300-yard performance of Blake Bortles' career in 20 games, throwing for at least 300 yards, tied with Peyton Manning for the sixth most in NFL history through 5 seasons.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. And I'm willing to bet in those games they have not won many of them.
Nope, I would say not.
I would say they're probably, this is just a guess, 7-13, 6-14, somewhere. I know they were 2-0 this year before today because he had 300-yard games against the Patriots and the Jets, games they both won. But a lot of that 300-yard passing yardage goes back into that garbage time stuff that we used to talk about with Blake.
Yeah, and with Leonard Fournette today, you definitely saw a difference in the offense. And, you know, you can talk about the yards per carry for Leonard Fournette, 2.2, which is not good. I mean, anything less than 3 is not very good. But Fournette is effective in the passing game, 5 for 56 and a touchdown that you just heard. Leonard Fournette averaging a first down per catch today, just over 11 yards. So I think even the threat of having Fournette in the ballgame gives the offense some juice.
Every week here on the fifth quarter, we do give you an injury update. It is brought to you by Farrah and Farrah. Let's do it right now, the Farrah and Farrah injury update.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
Well, not that it's a surprise, but there were certainly some more injuries today for the Jaguars. Issues on the offensive line. The big one, Brandon Linder, did not look good. We'll have to wait and see. Now, the only silver lining there is I think Tyler Shatley's pretty good. And you don't ever want to lose a starter. But if you were on any position on this football team to lose a starter, losing Linder, knowing you have Shatley, I think you might be okay. But nevertheless, hopefully Linder can come back. Eric Flowers, who made his Jaguar debut at left tackle, he left. Josh Walker had to come back in and replace him. So Gibson, another week and more injuries, including a lot to the offensive line today.
Yeah, everybody that watched the game at some point saw Brandon Linder carted off the field today. It was a knee injury. I don't know the extent of that. We'll no doubt get that evaluation either tomorrow or later in the week. Eric Flowers, now the fourth different left tackle this year for the Jaguars, and he went down.
That's a shame. It's not good. Not good at all. Injuries, you can't really control them. Started with Cam Robinson, then to Josh Wells, then to Josh Walker, and now to Eric Flowers, and then back to Josh Walker because Flowers got hurt. Yikes. 641-1010. We'll squeeze one more phone call in. Oh, our Tebow guy is back. All right, Casey, you want to talk about the Jaguars this time, my friend?
Yes, sir. This time I'm going to talk about how, I mean, Blake Bortles is not so much the problem, but we definitely know he's not our guy, right? But he's definitely a great backup. So I think we should draft a quarterback in the first round or maybe second round and get a receiver in one of those two rounds. And my question for y'all is, what is the financial impact of Bortles? Like, should we release him after this season or should we keep him as our backup?
Hey, Casey, thank you for the phone call. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk a lot more about that. I know when they re-signed him in the offseason, it was like a 3-year deal in theory, but it really wasn't. It was like 3 1-year deals the way it was written up. So it won't be a drastic financial impact. But again, I mean, it doesn't even baffle me anymore. It's come to expected. There were a lot of problems today on that football field. Your starting quarterback was not one of them. When you're 26 of 38 for 320 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no picks, you play well enough to win the game if you're Blake Bortles. And for people to call in and rip Blake, I mean, I guess that's fine, but I can think of 3, 4, 5 different issues today I would bring up before bringing up the play today specifically of Jaguar quarterback Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I mean, the Jaguars have a potential out in 2020 in Blake Bortles' contract. But look, you know, this year in the draft, this upcoming draft, I think most of the draft is going to be offensive-oriented. They got to rebuild this offense. I understand it was a pretty good day today, but they've got to rebuild a lot of pieces to this offense. We just talked about being on their fourth left tackle. Their tight ends are guys they just brought in for the most part. But look, Blake was not a problem today. He was not the reason they lost the game. This defense that is such and ballyhooed and wants to be this vaunted championship defense, well, they're not. They gave up 29 points today, and you never thought you would see that going back to last year.
As we begin to wrap things up, again, the Sports Den, Denny Thompson, James Coleman, they will be coming up in less than 10 minutes. They'll take you all the way up to 10 o'clock tonight here on both 1010XL and 92.5 FM. It is what it is, Gibson, 3-6. There's no sugarcoating it. The Jaguars are in last place. The Pittsburgh Steelers roll in here on Sunday. You and I and every Jaguar fan listening knows what that means. About 20,000 of their closest friends will be with them in the bank. We've seen it many, many times over the years. Pittsburgh takes over this stadium, particularly when things are going well for them, things are going bad for the Jaguars, and you have to think Pittsburgh smells blood. They're going to be out for blood after what Jacksonville did to them last year. I'm kind of scared to think what Pittsburgh might do to Jacksonville on Sunday.
I wonder what that line is going to be. It's a Jacksonville home game. Pittsburgh comes in at 6-2-1.
It's a home game in theory.
They're averaging...
The Steelers will get on a plane and travel down here. I'm not sure who has more fans in the stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible towels everywhere. Steelers are averaging 35 points a game right now.
Yeah, they're playing some of the best football in the AFC. They just hung 50 on Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis and that vaunted Carolina Panther defense. And this is without Le'Veon Bell, mind you. I mean, James Conner and Smith-Schuster and Brown playing very, very well.
Yeah, and that Le'Veon Bell story is going to get interesting this week. He has until Tuesday, Le'Veon Bell does, of this week to report, or he can't play this season.
Gibson, you'll be with me on XL Primetime Tuesday night, and we'll hear you all week on the Franzi Show beginning tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Appreciate it. Looking forward to it, man.
Thank you, Andrew Gibson. Matt LaVey, you're the man. Great job, my friend. As always, I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. Thank you, Jacksonville, for listening to the Window World of Northeast Florida Fifth Quarter. We have been presented by Florida Pump Service and by Adamac Harley-Davidson. Motorcycles, Indianapolis 29, Jacksonville 26. Joe Cowart and I will have it for you on XL Primetime tomorrow night. Special start time, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And we will talk to you then on 92.5 FM. Sports Den, Denny Thompson, James Coleman coming up next. Good night, everybody.